Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, and thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. How's everyone?
I'm feeling a little claustrophobic.
Why? If you're not watching, why are you feeling claustrophobic?
We are setting a world record for Boggy Talk participants today.
World record.
World record. Exactly. So this is a world record.
I am feeling loved and joy. That's what I'm feeling.
You're like crammed in the middle.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but doing great. It's graduation week. My oldest is graduating,
so if
I'm weeping, that's why. And I'll enjoy. But
yeah, that's awesome.
I think I cried at y'all's graduation a little bit last year.
John's graduating.
I know.
Yeah,
I won't cry for you. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah, so excited.
Yeah.
Well, today we have three very special guests. Never been on Boggy Talk before, right?
No.
Okay, so very fresh, new. We have Joseph Costa, Elena Bloodworth, and John Gardner.
Good job.
Yeah.
John Gardner.
So the reason why you guys are on today, you're just amazing and awesome. We wanted to have you. But also, you are our new interns for the summer. So
congratulations. You just found that out, right?
Yes, you made it.
Yep.
You
did it.
So we're super excited to have you guys here just as interns, helping out with everything, but also today on Boggy Talk. So our series, we've been doing a sermon series titled Drift, and our Boggy Talk series has also been following that. So each week, we've just kind of been going over the last sermon, talking about drift, how it applies to us, and things like that. So today, we are talking about the drift, which has been a kind of a crisis of ministerial people going into ministry. But before we do that, ministerial candidates.
The crisis is the quality of people. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so I was able to...
That is a little bit of it.
That is a little bit of it.
Know you guys, your names, but do you want to just tell us, like, where you're going to school, maybe what your degree plan is, just real quickly, and then we can jump right into our topic.
Yeah, so my name is Elena. I'm going to Southeastern University, a Christian college in Lakeland, Florida, and I am majoring in ministerial leadership with a minor in marketing.
Nice. I'm John, and I don't know exactly what I want to be, but I'm just want to trust where God's calling me, and whether that's being a missionary or working in a church or doing vocational ministry, I'm here for it.
What a great attitude.
Yeah. I'm here for it. That's like the modern Hear Him, I Send Me.
That's
I'm
right.
Here
I'm here for it.
Lord. I'm here for it.
That's right.
I'm going to use that just so you know.
For it.
Okay.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm Joseph. I'm also going to Southeastern in Lakeland. I'm a double major in commercial music and ministerial leadership. But yeah.
Like making music for commercials?
No. That's a common misconception.
Okay. This makes me think of Uncle Danny on Full House. That's what he's there. Uncle Jesse.
Yes.
He wrote jingles.
Yeah. Jingles.
The Jingle Man on Uncle Full House. Uncle
Oh,
Jesse.
Wow. I have to rewatch Full House.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what that actually is I get to kind of, since I did a lot of like classes to like get almost my whole AA in high school, I decided to go. Instead of doing like a worship studies degree, I decided to dive a little bit deeper into the ministerial side and then also into the music side so I can do some more like music tech stuff, business stuff to kind of just to explore both options and how I can put them together well.
Yeah, that's
good
awesome.
Job legitimizing that after.
Now we all understand. Well, yeah, so our topic today is talking about how there's a lack of people like you, basically. So we had some articles that just had shared a lot of data, and basically it was just sharing that there is this crisis. The 1980s, it kind of started that there was this lack of people going into the ministry. And so we're just kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit more, hear you guys, your thoughts about why you think that is, and then talk about how you guys are different from that. So starting out, what do you think... What do you think are some of the main reasons?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think, you know, this probably is something that a lot of our Boggy Talk listeners, like, have no clue about because maybe they don't care. Their churches have been
you
healthy.
Still think about it, yeah.
Yeah, but it is something that you're hearing in every denomination, every theological institution, every seminary, Bible college, is the absolute reality of a lack of ministerial candidates. And so they're saying, like, you know, we're trying to plant churches, right? Because to keep pace with the population growth in America and the lostness in America, we need to plant more churches, but we don't even have enough pastoral candidates to replace the current pastors that are, so like if in the next 10 to 15 years, you're gonna see churches closing their doors because they don't have pastors. So it's a major issue. I think there's several factors. I will say when I went to Bible college, and so this was like 20 years ago almost, there were probably a lot of people who shouldn't have been there. and churches were kind of getting bloated in staff. And then the recession hit in 2008. And I think it was very discouraging for a lot of people who wanted to go into ministry. Just kind of that whole realization that maybe churches were, at least some churches were a little fat when it comes to staff, you know, and they didn't need as many. I think that was a major, that's probably been a major issue in the last 20 years. But I do think a lot of the cultural trends are the reality. I mean, you could, I don't know if you want to talk about those or, Justin, sorry.
I would just say, I think that generational trends too, you can read studies on how the boomer generation maybe stayed or didn't stay, overstayed in leadership and simultaneously.
Is overstayed.
I mean, yeah, they're still here. Not to say that they're not valuable, but at simultaneously that there wasn't, hasn't been a focus in church leadership necessarily on leadership development and pipelines and raising up the next generation. Yeah. There's been a lot of the circuit of like, hey, you work at this size church until you feel like you're done there, and then you move on to a bigger church. And I would say, really, in the, there is a shift in the past, you know, decade to 20 years of really raising up leaders within the church, giving people valuable experience. That coupled with just the fact that, man, there's a lot. I mean, we're kind of in a day and age too where now people can. You know, you go to college and you get a degree and you don't have to really get a job in that degree, or you may you might in some fields, but you kind of can make up your own job in some ways. And so I think some people, it's our economy's tough. It's tough to make a long-haul living in ministry compared to other industries, you know, and in the market.
Factor.
That's a huge factor right now, specifically. So there's lots of reasons.
Well, one of the articles kind of broke down. They had five main reasons, and so I figured I'd kind of just share the reason, and then we can talk about what your thoughts are on that. So the first one, you kind of mentioned that bigger is not better. So that idea that first I start at a really small church and then I go more, but that's not the shift that's happening right now with millennials, actually. So what do you think about that?
Yeah. And I think even, so has happened with millennials because, you know, I'm a millennial and I'm 42. So like millennials are, a lot of times when people talk about millennials now, they're talking about Gen Z.
They're talking about like 20-year-olds. It's like, actually, that's not the generation. There's a new one.
So you guys are young Gen Z and I'm old millennial. So that's, you know, two generations. So just to understand that. Yeah, I do. I think that what he said is not, I would say to a detriment, there were a lot of guys who saw ministry as a profession and a corporate climbing of the ladder, kind of with the church growth movement that took place and all that. And in a good way, I think that's like gone. But the problem is you have all those mega churches that are a lot of times taking the more talented, skilled people, and the smaller churches then can't get somebody. Because a lot of those guys that are really great and women that are really great will be like, but I can feed my family here. You know? So I think these smaller churches are being cannibalized sometimes.
Well, and then because right now we have so many baby boomers, you know, and then but we don't have people that are filling their spots.
Right.
And the millennials are not wanting to move into that.
Right, into
next
those churches
part.
And those
so
spots.
It's
yeah.
just kind of this they're everyone's stuck. So
yeah. yeah. And I think it's hard to find, I mean, you know, even in searching for positions here at this church, and you talk to other church leaders around, like you recognize, I mean, it's hard to find certain positions. Mm-hmm. But I think in general it's because you know, like you, we talked about earlier, you get a degree, you can kind of find a feel, but it's hard to break into like the level of responsibility that you may want, you know, at a young age in a church versus what you should have.
That's
and,
a great point.
You know, and so there's like, I tell people all the time, and there's lots of studies that show like, hey, the future of ministry is probably by vocational mm-hmm. because you're going to need something to supplement mm-hmm. your income. And I think some people, you know, like you can Aaron, go ahead.
That's a great point. So if Joseph graduated at 22 mm-hmm. and wanted to come back here and be youth yep. pastor, and well, Jacob wasn't here anymore. Sorry, or he had moved on. Like, no, sorry, we wouldn't just kick Jacob out if he's listening. But like,
what are you doing it for?
Like, even if we told the church, like, hey, this is a 22-year-old and he's in this role, there is still instantly the expectation on him of a 30-year-old.
Yeah, right. And that's not fair.
And that's not fair because he doesn't have that experience, you know. And I do think a lot of younger people are like, I'm not doing that. Right, I don't know yeah. if you guys want to comment on that at all. Yeah.
No, yeah. I think that's a great point. I mean, something like for me, that's never been that huge of a thing for me, I guess, because I kind of have gotten kind of acclimated to the, like, just kind of expected more of myself, just like in my like family and things like that as well. Like,
first
that's
born.
Kind of how
firstborn.
Yeah, exactly. Firstborn type stuff. So it's, That's not a huge thing for me, but I definitely can see where that would be something for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think also, like, within ministry, it's so opposing to the world's view of work and career. Mm-hmm. And so in ministry, you have to start from the bottom and say, you know, I can't be prideful when it comes to this. Like, I have to be humble when I walk into being a youth pastor. And so, but in the like career industry where people are more likely going, pride is important.
Right.
And you have to sell yourself.
It's yeah, valued. Yeah. And so when you go to college, especially at a secular university, you're being told that you have to sell yourself. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. when ministry comes up, it's like, why would I do that? Why would right. I do the opposite yeah. of what I'm being taught to do?
Right. So. Yeah. That is tough. Like in an interview, which you guys just had an interview for this role, yeah. even, mm-hmm. you're like, okay. I need to be confident in who yeah. I am, but also they're going to think I'm prideful.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
So it's like,
that's all.
But you can't be in the
like,
interview
though.
Like, well, honestly, I just
I'm
am not worthy of this job.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, like, don't pick me.
Don't hire me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't hire me.
Double for sure. Well, we touched on this a little bit. The second reason this article had mentioned was that boomer pastors are retiring, dying.
The way you said
dying.
They
and
are.
The care aren't. There's insufficient replacements available. So, yeah, like I said, we kind of mentioned that.
And to clarify, too, that doesn't mean that boomers shouldn't be still in ministry,
right.
but it does mean that like, you do reach a certain age where you say, hey, I should be clearing a way for the next generation
yeah.
and
yeah.
move into a mm-hmm. you know, almost like a grandfatherly role mm-hmm. like of supporting and giving wisdom and undergirding rather than trailblazing
yeah.
mm-hmm. top down.
Right.
So,
we've
yeah.
talked about that a lot for us is that, like, the primary demographic to reach in our community is 30 to 45 because of the military mm-hmm. and because mm-hmm. of the schools and who they attract here. So, like, mm-hmm. if I'm still the pastor here as I hit closer to 60, like, I want key leaders who are the age I am now and younger
mm-hmm.
In those roles because, yeah, I think as a senior pastor, I could still be kind of mm-hmm. the shepherd, but I need younger people who are speaking in mm-hmm. into
right.
situations
yeah.
who are giving me good things to say, like, I'm here for
yeah.
it, like,
mm-hmm.
I need that kind of stuff.
And those younger right. people have to be going to college now for that. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, that to happen, and so that's this whole point is that mm-hmm. that's not happening, and so what is going to happen?
Yeah, but I do know a lot of my peers who have experienced frustration with pastors who are in their mid-60s to mid-70s
yeah.
and not giving away ministry, right. Not trusting people.
Right. Yeah, honestly, passing the mantle.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. I've experienced that. I haven't, but I know a lot who've mm-hmm. had bad,
yeah.
intimidated by personality, mm-hmm. all those things.
Yep. That makes sense. Yeah. Well, another reason is that a lot of times whenever pastors become part of a church, they're also very intertwined with the community. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want to leave to go yeah. to another church because they've just made bonds and,
yeah.
you know, mm. so that's a hard, that. A hard reality as well. You guys experienced that. I mean, you both had to kind of leave one community for another. That is a tricky thing.
I felt like a piece of me died when I had to do that. I mean, honestly, it was hard. I mean, we did that, you know, within a year of each other and
you cried a lot.
I did. I was so sad. Like, I did. I was...
I mean, I remember talking to you on the phone.
I was like, I can't.
You're like, I'm not a crier, which you're not.
I know.
I've worked with you for 7 years, but I was like, it's like he is a crier. I don't know why you keep saying that.
I just kind of... Every time I promise I'm not. I'm just... Because of that. Like, mm-hmm. if you feel called, not just... Because, like, yeah. what you want in someone in ministry is that it's not a job. Like, it is yeah. a job. Because, I mean, you know, like, yeah. we've got to provide for our families and, you know, got to eat. But I get it as a calling, and so you want someone who cares so much that it hurts when they yeah. when God mm-hmm. leads them somewhere. Yeah. else, and that they're not opportunistic. They're not just seeking the next yeah. best thing. And so, yeah, that is incredibly difficult. And I know some who just, I mean, and I was one of those that for a little bit until God was, I was like, Lord, I'm falling apart. Like, it just even physically was not in a good place because I was disobedient. Mm-hmm. Like, and I knew that if I continued in disobedience, that it was only going to get worse right. because the Lord loves me enough to discipline those who mm-hmm. love. So, that was incredibly hard. And yeah. I think that you want that. But mm-hmm. some people aren't willing to do that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good thing. I think mm-hmm. we're missionaries where we are.
Yeah.
You know, I that's how I see my role is that, you know, I'm a missionary, mm-hmm. not just a pastor. And so I think the fact that we're seeing younger millennials and Gen Z just be like, I really feel called to a place and a people. Mm-hmm. I just think that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you guys here? I mean, is that what you're from your peers?
I definitely agree with that. Like, the involvement in the community is such an important thing, and like because that, like you were saying, like we're missionaries, like, and not only you guys but us as like not even interns but like
right.
church members,
mm-hmm.
like we should all be going out and into our own community and mm-hmm. be doing the mission. That's
yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah.
good.
Yeah. It reminds me of, I don't know what it is. It's in the Gospels when Jesus is saying like, whoever leaves their family, mm-hmm. their reward will be greater, and they'll mm-hmm. have more yeah, family in heaven.
My sake, yep.
Yeah, and so Luke. I think he's validating that feeling of how difficult it is to leave, but he's also saying, like, I need you to go make more family mm-hmm. now mm-hmm. so that we can all be together in heaven.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's definitely a biblical idea to have that mm-hmm. difficulty, but also to let the Lord strengthen you to mm-hmm. go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Another reason is that some pastors, they step into a role where it's like they have this huge facility
yeah.
that's falling apart, you know, maintenance hasn't, maybe it was a dying church, and then they're trying to come in and revitalize yes. what's going on. So they're thinking, well, they want to be in this pastoral type of care and mm-hmm. role and preaching and teaching, but then they're going to be spending a lot of time doing facilities and fundraising
right.
and debt. Mm-hmm. You know, when maybe you're coming into a church that mm-hmm. has acquired a lot of debt, and now you're having to take that on and figure out how you're going to manage that. That's a tall order, you know.
Yeah.
So that's another reason why people are not wanting
yeah,
to take that on.
Yeah, that's a great. That's
yeah.
a great point. I even say sometimes, you know, that to our staff, when they're coming on board, you'll be surprised at how much you do that isn't actually ministry. Like, it is about mm-hmm. ministry, but it is, you're hired to do a job. So, like, you've got to work that out, that you don't let that become all that you do,
yeah.
because then why are you in ministry, right?
Yeah.
Because there's just so much in a church our size, with our facilities, yeah. with our mm-hmm. programming. But I do think, by God's grace, we are... Everything is headed towards a vision, but there's a lot of smaller churches with bigger buildings and big debt, mm-hmm. and maybe not big debt, but just keeping up a building that's mm-hmm. 15,000, 20,000 square feet.
Yeah.
Just keeping yeah. it insured, keeping it maintenance.
It's a lot.
It's a lot that you don't actually have money to mm-hmm. do ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And why?
Yeah.
I mean, why do you want to I wouldn't want to do that unless the Lord told me, go do that.
Yeah. Well, and it speaks to, like, the larger church you are, the more specialized your staff can be. They don't have to be as general in their expertise. But with the majority of churches being smaller churches, this highlights the fact that there's an incredible amount of, there's a broad skill set that pastors really have to be equipped with that you're not necessarily trained in. Because people think about going into ministry, well, I get to just, like, disciple people, share the gospel, preach. Yeah. Well, and you got to fundraise, and you got to administrate, and you got to do all this. There's a lot of other skills that...
Graphic design.
Yeah, really. Oh, now you, guess what? You also do
Believe it or not, guys, I used to do some graphic design at our last church. Like, so, yeah, you probably don't
have to.
We did some stuff earlier today.
That's right. So you just have to, you have to understand that, like, that in most other jobs, there's a lane.
Yeah.
You know, and in ministry, there's a broad map.
So broad.
You know, so.
And context switching can be tough. Like, again, we're a little bit, I mean, we are a larger, we're not a mega church, but we're top 5-10% of size churches in our country. So, like, I don't have to do a lot of that stuff in my role, but there are days I'm like, I'm going from marriage counseling to having a conversation about budget to studying Judges.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of pastors in smaller churches and like, you know, church staff in smaller churches, like, they're going, they're doing all kinds of stuff. And that can just be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really can be.
For sure. Yeah. Especially if one is not your strength.
Right.
You know, so you're having to work harder and there's more mental capacity that's used there. The last reason is with the cost, inflation, moving, people just don't want to relocate. They're like, this is, I mean, especially you can even just go from one end of the county to the other.
That's right.
And it'd be very different. So that's difficult, you know, just that whole
thing. She's looking at you, Okaloosa.
Process.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which Crestview is getting more and more expensive, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I think what we haven't talked about is, so most... A lot of people go to Bible college. They have to take out some student loans.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, the pay is not what their friends who are getting bachelor's,
yeah,
even teaching,
even on here.
You know, like, is. It's just not.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that, well, that's not why we do it, but it is hard. It's a hard reality.
Yeah. Right.
Especially if, you know, they have a family
and
don't have a couple years to build. And then, like you said, you know, relocating, and a lot of churches don't offer relocation assistance, even though, you know, if you were switching with a company, they'd pay for you to move.
Yeah.
Like, it's just hard to even, like, make the numbers work for, I think, some people.
Yeah. Right, yeah, definitely.
Sure.
Well, so that's a lot of gloom and doom there.
Aren't you excited to think about the future?
Yeah. But you're here.
So yes, you're here.
You're here for it. John Gardner.
You're here for it, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess... Like, what is y'all's response to this? What just makes you keep going, like, okay, Lord, this is what I know you wanted me to do, and regardless, you know, of these things, this is what I know you've called me to do.
Yeah. Well, I think for me it's kind of a like, a bland answer, but, like, I love God. and it's out of that love is where my response comes from, of, like, well, I'm ready to just kind of do whatever you're calling me to do, whatever you need me to do for your glory. And it's really as simple as that for me.
That's not bland.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's spicy.
Yeah, and it's important just to, like, trust where you are, because God's put you there for a reason, and, like, to be building those relationships wherever you are, and then whenever God is calling you to go somewhere else, to do that. And... Well, I mean, there's really nothing to it except just to do it. And it's just so important to just continue being with God. Because, like, if you're doing it, if you're in the ministry and you're not, like, maintaining your relationship with the community and with God, if you're not just continuing to sanctify yourself and do that, then it'll just... I'll be for naught. And yeah, so I just want to grow my relationship with God and continue to see where He's calling me in specific and broad.
Yeah,
that's good.
Okay, it's great.
I think it's, like, the same for me, obviously, as Joseph's answer. Like, you just love Jesus, and you, there's a response that comes with that. And I didn't become a Christian until I was 16, and so for those first 16 years of my life, I had this plan for how my life was going to go. And, you know, I was doing acting and all this different kinds of stuff. So, like, my main goal was to end up in Hollywood. And then when I met Jesus, it was like, I don't care about any of it anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, none of it matters. And so it's just like, once Jesus has transformed your heart, it's just like, well, what do you want me to do? And ministry just seemed like the obvious answer to me. And especially with doing like missions and everything, I feel like I want to go into a career that's going to make a difference eternally. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is ministry. And I do believe that you can be in ministry in whatever field that you end up in. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, I just wanted to go full in and full time so that I could be, you know, pruned as much as I could be and learn as much as I could and be the best disciple that I could be and do everything for His glory.
Mm-hmm. So, that's good.
Well, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good.
Yeah, how did this happen for you? Like, we get you, what's driving you, but like, mm-hmm. kind of, I think we can learn from that. Like, how did you recognize this call on your life? I know you're still discerning some of that fully, but mm-hmm. how did you? I just hit my hand on that pretty hard.
But absolutely, like, so I think, like, for me, like, I know that I'm called in some way to glorify God through music. I think that's kind of what I've come to the conclusion of, at least right now. I don't know exactly what that looks like. I'm still kind of trying to figure that out. But I think, like, music is a huge part of my testimony, like, from when I started coming to this church and actually attending church regularly and started playing with the worship team and things like that. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, I feel like that's really my way of, like, connecting with God. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, I kind of figured out, okay, this is kind of what I want to do with the rest of my life. And just thinking about really doing anything with the rest of my life and not doing it to glorify God and to help, like, spread His name everywhere, mm-hmm. like, it doesn't make any sense in my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, it really just, it makes no sense to me. I'm like, why would I even do that?
Mm-hmm. But what I heard is that you had opportunities to exercise mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you had the
exactly.
desire, and I know, you know, Justin and Alec gave you
Absolutely.
Opportunities.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Being able to do that for the last 5-6 years mm-hmm. and just grow in those things now and continue to grow are the biggest mm-hmm. things for me.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
I guess we'll just keep going.
growing up in a church family and in just that environment where there's a lot of people around you that do have good knowledge and good spiritual maturity and stuff, seeing that and imitating those people, the leaders in your church and your parents and your siblings, it just definitely helped me just learn how to be a Christian, learn how to follow Jesus, and then once I started doing that myself and starting my relationship with God and really just growing and reading the Word more consistently, you learn a lot and you know that God's always there, and even if I'm not, like, listening to Him at the moment, He's still there and He's still wants me to do something, wants me to be with Him. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I just want to be with Him in wherever that is.
Yeah, yeah, but you mentioned examples of several people mm-hmm. in your life.
Yes.
So that's cool to hear. Yeah.
Mine's kind of different. So like I said, I didn't come to faith in Jesus until I was 16. So when I was 16, we went to Fuge Camp with the Church on Bayshore in 2023. And they do, obviously, like, the call to ministry. It's very exciting or whatever. But they were leading us in prayer and just like, you know, come up to the altar if you feel the call to ministry on your heart. And I was like, absolutely not. It's like, after this, I'm going to go audition for a couple movies. And like, no, I'm not doing that. And it was nothing against church or anything. It was just like, no, I have better things to do. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, well, we've been learning a lot about prayer, and, like, that's become a part of my life, so let me just pray about it. And so I started praying, and then all of a sudden I just, like, stood up and started walking, and I did not make the conscious decision to do that, but I just really felt like God was leading me into that. And I'm a very visual person, so I just started, like, seeing images of my mind of, like, Christian speaking and, you know, almost taking a platform in such a different way than I had ever seen before in my life, and not taking a platform for me or as me, but as the Holy Spirit through me. And so that really, I was just like, okay, well, I don't know what this means. I don't know what the steps are. I don't know how to get there, but I'm just going to trust God to lead me to that. And so ever since then, it's just been kind of a step-by-step process and going to a Christian university, studying the Bible, and now church internship. So just been step-by-step from there.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I didn't grow up in church either. So I was about Elena's age when I got serious about Christ and struggled for a little while. So when I first felt called, and then whenever I finally was like, yes, it was similar. It was not like I didn't have a vision that God appeared to me, but it was like that. It was I could see what I was reading and hearing. And so it is interesting because yours is probably more like them, I'm assuming. You grew up in the church.
Yeah, for sure. I was just thinking as you're sharing why it's so important that we give people opportunities.
Yeah.
Because I think I wouldn't have really thought about ministry because I had a very different plan for my life as well.
Opera, right? Opera.
Before that, it was medicine. I was, I was a chemistry major.
And, he doesn't want to talk about that right now.
I was on that road. And
he's got some pipes.
The Lord. But I think there were people along the way. I mean, I remember my pastor, even when I was a student, and then he asked me to come and like be the summer, like interim youth pastor one summer. He was old. I mean, I felt like he was old at that time, but looking back, he was
probably our age.
He was definitely at the time in his 60s. But he, and he was a giant of a man. Like he was probably 6'7". Like he was just giant man.
Like, I thought you meant like figuratively. Like,
no, but both, but I felt that way. But I remember him like saying, hey, and he didn't, almost like he didn't give me a choice. Like he was like, hey, you're gonna come with me you're gonna do this. He was a previous minister at a church that was like towards downtown. He's like, they asked me to come and bring some students and to help lead a camp at this church. And it's kind of, you know, he's like, you're gonna come with me, we're gonna do this Monday through Friday. And like I did it. And then afterwards I remember he brought me into his office and he's like, well, you did a good job. Here's what you need to do different next time. But he believed in me. He just gave me the chance, you know, and that was the first time I've been like, okay, this was very uncomfortable, but also, like, I kind of liked it. Yeah. And I think that was probably one of the first times.
That describes ministry a lot.
That is literally every day. Chris is like, how was your day? A little uncomfortable, but I kind of liked it. But I think, you know, even in my student ministry experience, like we had opportunities to go serve and mission trips and to have that experience and to have leadership opportunities where I just think back to my experience, it was kind of similar to yours. There were so many, I can't even name them all. There were so many adults, and it wasn't even a huge church, but there were so many adults. Like for us, it wasn't life group, it was Sunday school teachers who just constantly were pointing out, like, you should do this. I want to give you, and they, not just to me, but to others too.
Right.
Huge discipleship. But we talked about that this morning in our meeting, right? The primary thing the church does is making disciples.
Yeah. Well, that leads well into this next thing. I think, for us as a church, and you know, what do we do with this kind of crisis? And I think you kind of spoke to that, though, too. Just encouraging people, trying to equip them and disciple them, and you know, whatever the Lord has for them, ultimately. You guys have any other?
Yeah, I think we need to be careful with saying like, you're called, you know, like because we don't know that. Like, I don't know about that about anybody, but I do think encouraging people for what their life could be, you know, if they follow this path, trying to help them discern their heart. I do think, like, probably an overcorrection. So it's great that as the church, we emphasize how everyone is a minister, right? Like, because they are. But I think maybe a little overcorrection is we don't, like, say, and God is coming to people at camp and saying, hey, that's you. You're not going to do this anymore. You're going to do this for me. Hey, this desire for music, you're going to do that for me. Like, God is doing that. And I think I think we're maybe afraid to celebrate that like we should. And I would just say, and I love, like, and I just pray for you to stay humble, all three of you, and passionate. Like, ministry cannot be a career for you. It has to be a calling. Like, I remember when we moved down here, we had built our own house. It was much nicer than my current house. Like, and so I think people probably think, like, we came to First Baptist Church of Niceville, you know, in the county. Niceville's kind of, you know, a little uppity town, you know, and First Baptist, you know. But, like, I was like, I'm taking an effectual pay raise, pay decrease, sorry, and my my house is going to be so much not as nice.
That's right.
Like,
yeah.
And, but I'm like, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what this is about. You know, this is about where is the Lord calling? And I remember having that conversation with my wife and just being like, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I'm feeling, here's the implications. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, where you go, I go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if that's what the Lord's leading us to do, that's what we do. Right. And I do think, like, the Lord kind of sifts that out. Mm-hmm. And so the people who are genuine, which I believe these three are genuine, he kind of sifts the others out. And, I mean, that's a harsh way to say that. But, like, you probably have friends who feel called to ministry who they will not be.
Yeah.
Right, you know? Yeah.
And it's, some of it's,
for the long term,
they just really... They have a divided heart, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
I hope that wasn't too
it's harsh. Good. Yeah.
No.
That's right.
No.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's great.
Well, that's wonderful. We're so glad that you guys are following the Lord with your whole heart and seeking Him, because that's the best place to be. And we're
and
happy.
The second best place to be is here for the summer. So we're glad you're here.
It's not a bad place to be for the summer.
That is very true.
Well, we have a game to play.
So scary.
You should be.
This won't be super complicated. I mean, I have pages here, guys. So we're playing Jeopardy kind of church on church style.
Oh, goodness.
So originally, we were going to just do Bible trivia, but then I felt like y'all were just going to cream them because, you know, you have your PhDs.
After
the last attempt. So I was like, okay, we got to mix some other things in here. So we have Bible trivia as a heading, or 2010. This is kind of difficult. I was like, what generation do I... I wanted to go 2000s. I'm like, they were just not even...
Alive.
We could have 2010 through 2025 pop culture. Yeah. Or Bible verse or Taylor Swift. I think you guys have probably done something like that. Yeah. But I thought this is a good group.
I felt sad that, like, I'm like, me and Elena are going to compete in that competition.
So, you can pick a category, and then whoever answers it first gets the points. And the points aren't real, so I'll try to.
Okay.
They go first?
Keep track.
We're letting the young people go first?
Yeah, so old guys versus the
okay.
So. Can take it.
Okay, so go ahead. Pick a
category.
Do we like buzz in, or we just say whoever?
Just say it.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, so God has freed me from idolization of celebrities, but I still have my knowledge of Taylor Swift, so I'm going to go with Bible verses or Taylor Swift for 500.
Oh, she's going big.
Okay.
500. Right. So we can answer first, right? We can.
Yeah, whoever answers first.
All right.
Okay. So this is the line. When it rains, you are here, and when it rains, you are gone.
Taylor Swift.
Bible. Oh, well, he already answered.
I was thinking Bible.
Is Taylor Swift.
Oh, yes.
Good job. I'm glad I answered first.
What song is that from?
I don't know.
Oh. I was thinking Coming with the Rain, maybe, or something like that. I don't know. She's a lot of songs about rain.
That's
so
true. It's a great metaphor for a lot of things in life.
Okay, so we have 500 points.
All right, so we got that. Okay.
Gosh dang it.
I have a pen. That.
I'm going to go, we'll go with pop culture for 100. We're going to go with a softball, hopefully.
Okay. According to Billboard, who is the highest grossing rock tour of 2023?
Harry Styles.
Ooh, good answer. 2023. Beyonce.
Post Malone.
Did she tour it?
Coldplay.
Really?
Wow.
They're still touring?
They have,
2023.
They have a big European following, though.
That's
true. They're great.
That's true.
They're a great band.
They're more lukewarm play now.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw them in Seattle one time.
I like Coldplay.
They're allowed out that late.
I thought Post Malone was good.
I heard their concerts are great.
I'm sure, yeah. They're sure they incredible are. Band.
Yeah.
Okay, interns, you guys get to pick.
Go for it, John.
Oh, no.
Get it.
Let's do Bible trivia.
Okay.
For 200.
Okay. Who wrote the shortest book in the Old Testament?
Old Testament?
In the Old Testament?
Yeah.
29 prophets.
Who wrote it? Or what's the name? It's one of the minor
prophets. Jonah?
No.
It's one of the minor prophets.
Jonah's four chapters, isn't it?
It's...
Is it a
We talked about this actually.
It's one of the minor prophets.
I think I should have gotten this verified.
Oh, we did talk about semester, this. Yeah.
It's one of the minor prophets.
It's gotta be.
Does Obadiah sound?
Yeah.
I was thinking Obadiah.
I was just gonna start singing them all, but
I was gonna start singing the song, like singing about Old Testament song.
Obadiah. I was thinking that.
All right.
You guys pick up.
I mean, I preached to them too and didn't remember that, so you know.
You pick.
Me? Oh. Let's go. Did we do pop culture for two?
Because no,
you just scratched that out. Yeah. I didn't think Obadiah was pop culture.
That was pop culture.
Okay, pop culture for two.
Okay. Pop culture for 200. What 2021 album marked Adele's return after a 6-year hiatus?
No idea. The
2021?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the album.
That was the album?
No, what 2021 album marked her?
Hello?
I thought she was the one who named it after her, after the years.
Adele?
Oh!
That is not the name. No, no points awarded.
How old was she?
How old? 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36.
Oh, 30.
No, we don't
get any points for that.
I would have lost points in Jeopardy, so.
Also, don't forget we're supposed to say what is or who
what
is.
What is?
We're not doing that right.
That's true.
It's their turn. Right, Joseph's turn, right?
My turn?
Yep.
We'll go back to Bible verse or Taylor Swift. Do 300.
For 300. Okay. You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen.
Bible.
Yes.
Look at Job?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
That's what I was.
I didn't write how much this was.
We got 500 on our first one.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on.
All right.
We need those points.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
The only
point
scored
are
in that column.
So
300. Taylor Swift's gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go Bible trivia 100. Start with the low one.
What is the name of the high priest who mentored Samuel?
Eli.
Yeah. Yes, I affirm your answer.
That wasn't Taylor Swift.
It's not Elijah.
I'm so sorry.
It's hard to read.
You just want that. You want that for you.
We can read upside down.
No, okay.
Taylor Swift does have a song about a boy named Eli. So
there you go.
Okay.
All right.
Sure, she does. All the other ones.
Right.
Oh, category. Me turn.
Yes, your turn.
Me turn.
Your turn.
300 pop culture. I meant, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
What? Now think about this. This was an epic movie. So, it was a really good movie. Sci-fi film released in two parts.
Avengers.
Hunger Games.
Endgame.
2021, 2024, based on a Frank Herbert novel.
Aww.
Oh. 2021.
Sci-fi. Two parts.
2021, 2024.
Dude. Yeah.
Dang.
What was it?
Good job.
I did not see those.
They looked. They looked boring.
They looked so long.
You have to watch the first one and the second one to actually understand it. Because I watched the second one first.
Oh, that would.
But once I watched,
I would
both,
be asleep.
They were great movies.
I slept through it.
Okay.
I thought they were
in the theater.
I fall asleep in the theater.
In those Dolby chairs.
Yeah.
I woke up like fighting. It was scary.
Those reclining. Like, I spent more, and I'm just going to go to sleep.
It's a really expensive nap.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Our pick?
Yeah.
You pick.
Let's go pop culture 400.
Let's do it.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Even though this isn't good for us, actually.
Spare is the name of a memoir penned by what notable figure?
Oh, the Prince Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Prince Harry. You sound so old.
The Prince guy.
Prince Harry.
The Prince Harry. Because Christy read it. I knew that one. Yeah.
Okay, there's two more.
She was like, he's so annoying. By the end of this book, you're so annoyed with him. That's what she said.
We can't only do two more.
Okay, you want to do all of them?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Of course.
I know. Go ahead. John?
Oh, we'll do pop culture 500 then.
Okay. All right.
The last one.
Released in 2017, what colorful, squishy, plush
Squishmallow.
I was about to say I know that because of Joanna. Good job, Squishmallows.
I have two on my bed right now.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, I have two on my bed as well.
Yeah.
Nice. Do you need to bring them into the office? You're like...
Esther has 47 in her room.
Wow.
Not really, but...
That's a lot.
She has a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Okay, you guys, you can pick a category.
Bible or Taylor Swift for two.
I once believed love would be burning red.
Taylor Swift.
But it's...
I was... Man.
Yes.
Get it.
Good job. Okay. All right. Are we over here?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, you guys.
So we just got three there and one left there, right?
Okay, let's go over to Bible trivia then for 300 then.
Yeah.
We'll go down the list.
In which epistle does Paul quote is it Cretan?
Titus.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes and yes. Titus
Cretans
and
are
Cretan.
Are always the quote. Okay.
Evil gluttons. Nice job. Beast. Yep.
Okay.
All right, we needed that.
I feel like this is kind of neck and neck.
Let's go Bible trivia 400.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. What Old Testament figures, this is easy, donkey spoke to him?
Baal. Balaam. Sorry, Balaam.
Yeah,
song.
Yeah, I was about to say,
Balaam.
Yeah.
I said Baal, and then I had a tickle in my throat.
That's funny.
Yeah. We got that.
Yeah.
All right. Y'all want to pick a category?
Taylor Swift.
Sure.
All right. Let's just finish it off.
Our goal is to take Elena down on this one.
Which one?
400. I don't know.
400.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. I talk to God, but the sky is empty.
Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Better. Yeah. Oh, it's bigger than the whole sky, isn't it? Or something.
Man,
like that.
There's
it's
a lot of
that song. One is cool.
That like sounded oh! like Joe. A lot of these Taylor Swift yeah. lyrics
John,
sound like
John's
they could
Bible
be
book.
In the Book of Job. Yeah. I was like, oh, that might be Job.
Yes.
All right, so.
That's sad.
I think we won.
It's 500 left.
I don't know.
Maybe. Unless we get this. Unless we get this 500. 500.
Okay, 500 left. Easy.
There's only one
which
left.
One is
right?
Yeah, just one. It's 500. 500. 500. 500. Yeah.
What is the score? So we know if this is like.
I can't quick do math. The math up here.
It's not close.
I think it is. You,
well,
guys,
you guys
have
got this last
6, 11.
Yeah, you guys.
You called them the kids?
You're going to remember that.
1300. We got 4, 8, 11, 15, 19. Oh, no. We won by. We won no matter what. Oh,
it's
well.
Fine. We're going to get it right anyways.
All right, so,
it was close.
It was close.
As in Bayshore students, the last one always counts for me.
The last one always counts.
Okay, okay. Okay. Winner, winner, whoever gets this wins.
Yeah.
We good? Winner gets this? We good?
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Okay, well, I don't know what the prize is here.
I'm not shaking, so.
Brian for the whole summer.
Well, I shook for us, sorry. I get you in all kinds of trouble. I agree to all kinds of things that you're going to end up having to figure out what the
reward is. You'll figure it out.
Something else to deal with in ministry.
That's right.
Okay. Who restored Paul's sight after the Lord blinded him?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wait, what's his
name? High priest. Right? No, no. Go to.
His name is like trivia.
Oh.
I know his name.
It's not.
I shouldn't. It's not Kai. It's.
I want to say I'm going to be wrong whatever I say, so.
Anias?
Yes. Okay. I was like, it's not.
It started with an A.
It was Anias? That's what I was about to say, but I thought it was, I was so sick against
that.
So.
That felt too easy.
Well, I was
sure, Joseph, sure.
I knew it was with.
But when you see it out of context, when you hear the name out of context,
it's multiple choice.
Well, they killed us in this category. We did really well in that one, and we barely beat y'all in that one.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
That was the honestly, that speaks to God's redemptive power.
Yes.
That's all I got to say.
That's a great note to invite you back on.
Well, guys, thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.